This is the How to Not Suck at Money podcast, show number 15. Welcome back to the How to Not Suck at Money podcast. I am your host, Devon Jarvis, and today we're going to be talking about best money moves to make in 2022. Happy 2022, everyone. Hopefully the year has been good for you guys so far. And we are now pretty much at the end of January as I am recording this episode. Hopefully everyone's in their groove. You guys are able to stick to the resolutions and or goals that you made so far for the year, and everything is doing great. But now we're going to fine tune that, refine some of that, and I'm going to put some tangible things on how you can make this a very successful year for you. Obviously, these are things that I do myself. I'm not a financial advisor, financial planner, or tax consultant, or anything of that nature. I just share things that I do to make my financial situation better. And hopefully, if I can make you guys 1% smarter, then that is a win for me. So without further ado, I'm going to get into roughly about 15 things you can do to make great money moves in 2022. So number one, we got to start off by making some goals. So everything we do, we need to be extremely deliberate with our actions. So we need to sit down, take a second, figure out exactly where it is we're trying to get to in life. And we need to know where we need to get to, or where we're trying to get to. So we need to figure out how we're going to get there. So what tangible steps are we going to take to get to wherever it is we see ourselves end up being? So goals can be, you know, broken down to many different levels. You can have super long-term goals, short-term goals, medium-term goals. But in its essence, everything that you're doing should be working towards whatever it is you're trying to accomplish in life. So if you don't know exactly what you want to be when you grow up, and that's something that I say all the time, you know, I don't know what I want to be when I grow up, I'm trying to figure that out right now, then maybe you need to sit down, take a second, figure out that first before you can figure out, you know, exactly what it is you need to do. Because if you don't know where you're going, then it's going to be very hard to map out a road and make a plan to get there. So figure out what your goals are. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I always say, if you think of something that you can do better, if there is something that you feel that you can work on, then the moment that that thing pops into your head, then you just need to start doing it right away. We don't need to wait for a magical date or a special time in the future. Just start doing it right away. So if you think of something you want to do better on a Tuesday afternoon, then start implementing it on that Tuesday and go from there. We don't need to wait for January 1st in order to enact these things that you want to do. That's why I don't really believe in resolutions. But goals are a little bit different. These are things that you're trying to work towards. You're going to break this down and figure out what steps you need to take there. So if you guys have never heard of the SMART method, that's how I kind of break down how I'm going to accomplish my goals. So SMART is an acronym, and it stands for specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-based. So you want to make your goals using this kind of SMART method, because then you can actually grade yourself and see how you're doing over time. And it's not this like arbitrary thing that you just come up with, like, oh, you know what? I think I want to be a better dad. Okay, well, what does that mean? I don't know what being a better dad means. So you can apply the SMART method and you can say, okay, I want to be a better dad. How am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to spend more time with my kids. I'm going to spend 15 minutes a day doing this, this, and that. Okay. By doing 15 minutes a day, I hope to spend an hour at the end of every week. And these are things that you can actually measure. And it's not just like, oh yeah, I want to be a better dad, because that's completely objective. We don't really know how to say whether or not you're being a better dad. So apply the SMART method as you are trying to make your goals. So I'll go into a little bit more detail on how you could break it down. So measurable, and that can be defined as what evidence will prove that you're making progress and are able to reevaluate when necessary. So it's not just in the moment like, hey, I can measure 15 minutes. But if, for example, you set that goal for 15 minutes a day that you want to spend with your kids to be a better dad, then we need to maybe look at the clock, see what time I start hanging out with my kids. And then if multiple days in a row, you're falling short of that 15 minutes, then now we need to say, okay, cool. On this day, it was 12 minutes. This day was 10 minutes, whatever the case may be. But I'm not hitting that 15 minute mark. What adjustments can I make in my schedule? What do I need to do in order to get it up to that 15 minutes? So we want to be able to track our progress so that we can reevaluate whether or not it's working. And then maybe you'll say, you know what, maybe 15 minutes during the week is unrealistic because of the time I come home, the kids have homework, then they have to go to bed. Maybe that 15 minutes is not realistic. So then you can alter it and say 10 minutes during the week, and then I'll make up the other time on the weekend. So that's why you want to make sure that you can define and also be able to measure whether or not you're able to accomplish your goal in that situation. So attainable, make sure you can reasonably accomplish your goal within a certain time frame. And that's kind of like what I was just talking about. Can I, if I know that I get home, let's say at 6:30, and dinner is at 6:45, but the kids don't finish homework until 6:40. Well, can I realistically spend 15 minutes with my kids if the timing does not allow? So it has to be a realistic goal. In that case, based on the time constraints that I just mentioned, it's not very realistic to spend 15 minutes. If I get home at 6:30, kids are done with their homework at 6:40, but then dinner is at 6:45. That realistically only leaves 5 minutes. So you have to make a goal that you can actually attain. Realistic. Make sure your goals align with your values and be honest with yourself about, you know, whether or not you're capable of accomplishing those goals to get to the desired outcome. So because we're sitting down, we're making these goals, we're putting it on paper, we're being intentional about what it is we're trying to achieve, that'll let us know whether or not it's realistic. And if it's not realistic, then we need to either change the plan as far as what it is we're trying to achieve, or change the timeline, or whatever the case may be. But it has to be realistic. You can't set yourself up for failure from the very beginning and then knowing you're going to set out on this journey to accomplish your goal, but it's actually not realistic. You're not actually going to be able to do it. And the last one is time-based. And I think this is one where a lot of people leave off, and that is, you need to set a realistic, but at the same time, ambitious end date for your task and prioritize what it is you need to do in order to accomplish your goal. So this means that if I say, hey, I want to be a better dad, we'll just keep on with that theme. When am I going to measure this? So I can't say, well, today I came home, I was able to do everything that I said I was going to do. Bam, I'm a better dad after one day. Well, no. We need to give ourselves some actual time. So we need to, number one, build the habit, do it multiple days in a row, not just, you know, one day and then say, oh, all of a sudden things have changed. So maybe you pick, I like to do things on a quarterly basis because companies use quarters to measure their success. And so I like to reevaluate any goals that I make on a quarterly basis. So if I make a goal starting January, then I'll say, cool. After the end of the first quarter. So a quarter is usually about 3 months. So say I will evaluate everything I'm doing for January, February, March. At the end of March, I will sit down, look at the data that I've collected and reevaluate and say, yes, I was able to accomplish this. No, I was not. What adjustments do I need to make because I fell short here in this area? So that is how you should make your goals. Apply the SMART method. Work backwards, figure out where you want to be, and then work your way backwards and, you know, figure out exactly what you need to do on a day-to-day basis to get to that end result. All right, number two, assess your spending habits. So figure out where all the money is going that you have come in every month. So if you have any kind of leaks, you're spending way more money than you thought, all that kind of stuff, just figure that out. So this is where I would say this is something you really probably only need to do about one time or so, but sit down, look at your, if you use a debit card, credit card, checks, anything, figure out where all the money that's coming in is going every single month. So you know exactly where all your money is going. This, at this point, I'm not saying change your spending habits. Right now, we're just paying attention to our spending habits, seeing where the money is going so that we know exactly what we're spending our money on every month so that we can begin to use that information and then we can make some changes here in the future. Once you're able to assess where all your money is going, let's start with the low-hanging fruit, because for most of us, we are probably spending more money than we should in certain areas. So low-hanging fruit are, what am I spending money on things that I literally do not use? So for example, subscriptions. Do you have any type of subscriptions you don't use? Nowadays, since it's not super common for people to have cable, there's like 25 different subscriptions you can have, like Amazon Prime, Netflix, Paramount, Peacock, all these different things. And then when you add it all up, it costs more than cable was in the first place. So are there any subscriptions, anything that you have that you haven't used within the last 30 to 60 days? If you haven't used it in the last month to 2 months, you probably don't need it. So start by cutting those subscriptions and trying to stop the bleeding a little bit for money going out. And the subscriptions are kind of sneaky because they'll start usually with an introductory offer and then they'll say you need to cancel by X date. And if you don't cancel by that day, then the automatic subscription, automatic payment keeps happening. So that's how a lot of people get roped into it. So just pay attention to whatever you have that you have not used in 30 to 60 days. And chances are, if you have not used it, you don't need it. All right, number four is going to be to create a budget. Now, I'm not going to go into like super details on how to make a budget. I'm going to make that in another episode, but you need to create a budget so that you can figure out how much money you have coming in, how much money you have going out, prioritize what it is that's important to you, and you make a budget every single month on what your spending is going to be. Now, I know a lot of people get probably a lot of feelings or, you know, upset or concerned when it comes to the budget word. But quite honestly, I love budgets. I use a budget every single month. And a budget for me is just permission to spend. Because if I budget what I'm going to spend my money on every month before I even get my first paycheck, then I'm prioritizing what is important for me. And that's what I'm spending my money on. And also, if I budget a couple $100 for entertainment, then when that time comes and I spend money on entertainment, I don't feel guilty because I already made a plan. I budgeted to spend for that month. And I also made sure that I had my investings and savings and all that other kind of stuff budgeted as well. So it's not like I'm spending money on entertainment, but I'm not, you know, saving and investing for the future. So definitely creating a budget is a high priority and something that really every single person should do. It's hard to be successful financially if you do not have a roadmap on how to get to where you want to get to financially, and a budget is that roadmap. All right. And next would be set up an emergency fund. Now, quite honestly, I have mixed feelings about an emergency fund. Does everyone need one? Absolutely, 100%. But what I can tell you is that the better you get at budgeting, the less need you have for an emergency fund. And what do I mean by that? So my budget is so comprehensive, I account for every possible thing that can come up or every possible expense that's going to happen throughout the month, throughout the quarter, throughout the half, throughout the year. And I put money aside for all these things that can happen. So for example, if you own a car and you need to buy tires for your car, then that's not something that should be an emergency to where like, oh my God, I just blew a tire. I need to buy tires for my car. Well, part of owning a car is that you know you're gonna need tires. So I pay attention to the tires that I buy. How many miles should I be able to get from the tire? And then I look at how many miles I drive in a year. And then I do some simple math and say, okay, sweet. If I have 60,000 mile tires and I drive 10,000 miles a year, then simple math, when am I going to need new tires? Then I figure out how much 4 tires are going to cost. And I put that money aside every single month. So that's just a small example of how I make my budget. So when your budget is very good and your budget is super detailed and it accounts for all this kind of stuff, there actually really are no real emergencies because you should have already accounted for pretty much everything in your life. And the better your budget is, you'll realize the less emergencies come up. But with that being said, you still need an emergency because things can absolutely happen that you don't plan on. So, you know, that 3 to 6 months is absolutely a good number to shoot for. And 3 to 6 months was typically the number that I used to give. But obviously, after experiencing things with the pandemic, I'm shifting that to 6 to 12 months, because if you lose your job or you have to go remote or whatever the case may be, you're not making as much money as you were before. It is really much better to have a bigger security blanket in the bank so that anything happens, you have a nice amount of money to tap into, so you're not going to be stressed out. And number 6, pay off high interest debt. Now, it's not good to have high interest debt, obviously, because really and truly, if you really pay attention to what's going on with inflation today, the dollar is getting weakened every single day that you have it in the bank. And if you have weakened dollars in the bank and then you're having interest rates that are well above inflation, you are actually losing money on multiple fronts. So if you do have high interest debt, go ahead and pay that off. Now, what is high interest debt? I will say anything first that's not fixed rate debt. So if it's not long-term fixed rate debt, meaning if you have variable rates or anything like that, then you need to get rid of it. Rates are super low right now. And if you really think about it, what direction are rates going to go? Is it going to go up or is it going to go down? Well, there's not a whole lot of room for it to go down. So more than likely it will go up. So you need to pay that off. My personal threshold for a high interest rate debt is anything more than 6%. If I have anything more than 6%, then I'll go ahead and start paying that off. If you have credit cards and you're not paying it off every single month, then really you don't need to be using credit cards in the first place. But go ahead and pay those off, all the high interest rate debt that you have paid off right away. All right, next would be investing. You gotta invest. I just talked about how inflation was rising, and obviously keeping your money in a bank account means you're losing money every single day. So you have to invest. You have to put your money in any kind of vehicles that are gonna appreciate in value, that's gonna make your money work for you. So go figure out what is your investor DNA. So I will never tell anyone like, these are the investments you need to do. Like, I am a real estate guy. I love real estate. That's where I put most of my money. That is my investor DNA. I understand real estate. I love real estate. I invest most of my money in real estate, but it's worked out for me. If real estate is not your thing, you don't understand it. You don't understand the risks. You don't understand, you know, how to use leverage, all these different types of things, then that's not what you should invest in. If you are more of a passive person, you don't really want to get involved in the day-to-day, you just want to put your money somewhere and then watch it grow, maybe throwing your money in an index fund is exactly what you need to do. Or maybe you love the stock market, you like watching companies report their quarterly earnings and you dive into their books and, you know, you're super motivated by that stuff, then maybe that's something that you can do, and you can buy single stocks and invest in companies based on your research. So there is no right or wrong for investing. I hate to hear people say, oh, this is what you need to be invested in. You should invest in this. Invest in what you know and invest in what you're comfortable with and invest in the things that you understand the risks, because if you don't know those things, then you are really just gambling. You might as well go to Vegas, go to the roulette table and put it all on black and hope for the best. All right, number 8, focus on your net worth. What does that mean? Focus on all the assets you own minus the liabilities. So net worth is calculated assets you own minus liabilities. So everything you own, so houses, stocks, any kind of, you know, mutual funds, bonds, anything, cash, anything of that nature, and you subtract any debts you have. So if you have mortgages, car loans, and once you subtract that number, it'll give you your net worth. So very, very important, only buy things that appreciate in value. So where a lot of Americans get this wrong is they want to work, get paid and then buy things with their money. And a lot of those things depreciate in value. Don't buy things that depreciate in value. So you should be saving roughly, I would say, 40% or more of your income if you're expecting to have a good quality of life in retirement. And you take that 40% and you're not just saving it, hoarding it in a bank, because we talked about how that's not going to make you money. You need to put it into assets that are going to appreciate in value. Appreciation is important, because appreciation is going to help your money. It's going to help your money grow while inflation is happening. So every year the dollar gets weaker and weaker, which means that what a dollar could buy today, under normal circumstances, there is about a 3% inflation every year. So what a dollar can buy today, next year, that same dollar is only worth 97 cents. So you just lost buying power. So what you want to do is focus on your net worth. Buy things that appreciate in value. Doesn't necessarily need to provide a lot of cash flow today. So if you have a good job and, you know, there's money coming in, take all that money, put it into buying things, stocks, real estate, things that will go up over time, not things that will go down over time. Clothing, vehicles, expensive dinners, vacationing, all these kind of things where you won't actually make money off of it. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have fun. You shouldn't go out and try to enjoy life, because it's not about being rich when you're 60 and then you're too old to do some things. Not saying that 60 is old, but I'm just saying. So there is a balance, though. You want to make sure that you're buying things that will appreciate, that can provide a better financial situation for you sooner rather than later. So don't buy depreciating assets. Put your money into things that will appreciate over time. All right, next would be to continue your education and continue to hone your skills and make yourself better and more valuable in the workplace. Now, when I say education, I'm not necessarily talking about formal education, going to college, sitting down, taking, you know, classes. What I'm talking about is continue educating yourself in whatever field it is that you're in, or whatever you are doing, as far as whether it's investing or you're putting money into. Learn more about those things and how to be better at that, so that you can, you know, become a smart investor. Because what you don't want to do is just sit down, wait on the sidelines, and not continue to educate yourself, and then you watch whatever industry you're in change and evolve over the years, and then you are behind the power curve. So continue to make yourself better. It's awesome today with a lot of things being remote. You can take a lot of classes online. If you are into real estate and you don't have a full-time job, become a real estate agent. Immerse yourself in real estate. I do have a full-time job, but I'm super into real estate. But this year I made a commitment to go to multiple real estate conferences. That's another way you can continue your education, just by going to conferences, immersing yourself in the industry, surrounding yourself with like-minded people in the industry that you're interested in. And that's another way that you can continue to get smart and learn your investor DNA and become really good in that particular field. That way you can stick out and you can be better than the rest. Next step is to analyze your progress. All these goals that we've been making, everything we've been talking about, we need to be able to sit down and look back and figure out, are we on track to where we're going? And like I mentioned previously, I like to do this quarterly. So I recommend at least quarterly. You don't want to do it daily or weekly, because that is just kind of overload. You're not actually really giving yourself enough time to actually implement any strategies that you might have come up with, you know, and give it time to actually work. So quarterly is a nice happy medium. Sit down, analyze your progress, figure out what is working, what is not working, what do you need to tweak, and what can continue, what can you improve on, and then that way you can make it better. But we have to analyze what progress we're making. Do we need to make changes? How can we actually streamline this process to get better and make it closer to our goals if we're not currently on track? Number 11, and this is a big one that I think a lot of people fall victim to. I know a lot of my friends do, and I actively work very, very hard to make sure that this doesn't happen to me, and that is avoid lifestyle creep. So this basically means that, did you get a pay raise this year? January 1st, not sure who you're working for, but did they say, hey, you're going to get a 3% raise, 4% raise, 5% raise? So now you got a little bit of a raise. You're making a little bit more money than you were before. You know, a few hundred bucks, nothing big, you know, but you never actually made a plan for that money. So what ended up happening is now you're making an extra couple hundred bucks a month, and it has now become a part of your income that you didn't really account for. So now you're getting used to it. Every month goes by, you're getting used to it. You're getting used to it. So as you make more money, now you're giving yourself permission to spend more money, which means your lifestyle just got slightly elevated. And then every single time you get a raise, it gets elevated again, again, again. Or every time you make more money, it gets elevated a little bit more. So I have seen this happen so much, and I am so determined to make sure that this does not happen to me. Every time my job says, hey, you're going to get a raise, and it starts January 1st, if it's 1%, in December, I go in and I do an automatic deduction withdrawal. I figure out what that 1% is going to increase my pay to. And then I withdraw that. I do an automatic deduction so that I never actually see that 1%, because it's a lot easier to absorb that raise into your normal day-to-day life than it is for you to cut it. So if I said, hey, you made 1%, you got used to seeing that money every month, no big deal, super easy, right? You're like, oh, I can absolutely find something to spend that 1% on. But then if I come back to you a few months later and say, hey, I need you to cut your spending by 1%. It's actually a lot harder to cut your spending by 1% than it is to increase your spending by 1%. So I try to be very diligent to make sure that I never actually see a pay raise ever. And I continue to live off the same exact standard that I was living on before. So to be honest with you, I am really living off the same exact paycheck that I made 6 years ago. I've never actually taken that pay increase and spent it. So if you're able to do that, you can't miss what you never had, right? So if you end up spending it, then it's hard to miss it. But if you never accepted that acceleration or inflation of your spending or raising your quality of life, then you're really not going to miss it. So avoid lifestyle creep. Next on the list is going to be to build your network. So you need to start immersing yourself and hanging out with like-minded people. Not sure if you guys have heard the saying that you're the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. So take a look at, you know, the five people that are closest to you. And if they're not pushing you to do better, you're not pushing them to do better, and you guys are not elevating yourself, then it's probably time that you change the people that you spend time with. So one way you can do this, whatever you're interested in, go out to meetups. So for example, like in the real estate space, there's real estate conferences that take place from multiple different organizations all across the country, all throughout the year. That'd be a great place to go. You can meet like-minded people there and begin to grow your network. All right, next it would be, know when it's time to outsource repetitive tasks. So as you guys start getting some success and things start moving a little bit better, and now your time is becoming more and more valuable, those things that you do that are just repetitive, that might be a good time to outsource that so that you can focus on bigger things as far as driving the direction that your business is moving in. So there's a lot of ways you can do that. There's ways you can get virtual assistants to help keep you organized. You can give them certain criteria as far as checking mails, how to respond to certain things, and that'll just free your time up so that you can focus on big picture items, and you're not spending 40, 30 minutes every day or in the morning or afternoon just going through emails and doing those repetitive things. And last but not least, remember what you're working for. Like, why are we doing all this? Well, we want to assume financial freedom so that we can live the type of life we want to live and get your time back. So remember why we're doing all this. It's important along the way to make sure you take opportunities to celebrate those small wins. Remember, this is a long-term game, right? So we're not going to be able to accomplish great things in a very short period of time. This is going to take years and decades, but we don't want to be so focused on the end result that we're not realizing every time we accomplish something. So one small thing that I like to do is every time I buy a new property, I usually buy a nice bottle of wine and then sit down and, you know, sip on that wine and just take a moment to reflect and appreciate the fact that I'm one step closer to my goal. So nothing big, nothing huge, but we do want to take time out to acknowledge the wins that we do have in life. Because if you forget to do that, then you might just forget the whole reason that you're working so hard in the first place. That's going to do it for this show. Hope you guys appreciate all the information that I was able to share with you. If you like this content, go ahead and leave a like, subscribe. If you know any friends or family or anyone that can use this type of information, go ahead and share it with them. And I appreciate you guys' support, and I will see you on the next episode.